blessing. What a blessing. How are you guys? Everybody's good? Oh, Rose, I love you, girl. Did y'all hear that? She spoke back to me without me having to repeat myself. Hey guys, the other day I was going to meet a new friend and I got lost. I have no sense of direction. For some of that of you guys, that does not surprise you a bit. But it was literally in my own backyard and I got so confused and so backwards, I don't know one way from the other. But it made me think back several years ago whenever my girls were just toddlers and I was going to meet my husband who was doing a teen camp for the summer, and we were going to go and hang out with him with that night. It was just like a couple of hours on the other side of Fort Worth, and he gave me my directions and he told me exactly what to do, and he kept saying, "Are you listening?" And I was like, "Yes, I am." And so I get over there, and that loop at Fort Worth, y'all know what I'm talking about? Whenever I got to that spot, there was construction and detours and dead ends, and my map said nothing about what to do with detours and dead ends, and I literally, no kidding, my kids were like 4 and 5 years old. They're still scarred emotionally. We went in that loop for 2 hours. 2 hours. I stopped at the same convenience store twice, and the second time that I stopped, I was crying, the girls were crying, the man was crying because I came back and I was so confused. I literally wanted someone to get behind the wheel and drive me there. I was just at that, I would have paid someone to get into my car and get me there. Have you guys ever felt that way? That literally you are just going in circles and you are never getting anywhere, and you've got the detours and the dead ends of life and no one tells you how to get back on the path. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is who are you following? Who is leading you? And so if you will open your Bibles, we are in John still, and we're going to be studying John 10. Every week I say it's my favorite scripture, but tonight I think is my favorite scripture. And so we're going to dive deep into this. And several weeks ago, we studied John 9. And if you remember, John 9 was about the man who was born blind. Remember, we keep referencing that. And they said, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither did. He was born this way so that God would be glorified. And if you recall, we watched him go through this process of coming to know Jesus Christ. And as he came closer to knowing and identifying, the more courageous he became, the more brave he became. And in the end, the Pharisees kicked him out of the temple. Do you remember that? They kicked him out. And Jesus went and found him. And because of that, that is our backdrop that we are going to be speaking on today. From that experience, from that backdrop, we're going to go into what Jesus speaks tonight. And so if you'll open with me to John 10, 1 through 5, let's read that together. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He who has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." When I was in corporate America, I was highly trained for years to be able to look the part of my audience. However my audience looked, that's the way that I spoke to them, that's the way that I dressed towards them. If they were bottom line thinkers, I presented bottom line. If they needed all the detail, I gave them all the detail. With my customers, I learned to listen more than I ever spoke. I learned to get things from them of what they enjoyed, the degrees that they had. If the education was their thing, we would talk about that. What was their hobbies? And then I would trigger on those things for conversation. Things that I could use as comparisons to move us forward in our relationship. And we see Jesus do that throughout Scripture. He takes something that they understand and he compares that and he uses that to his advantage. He uses relatable stories with them. And so we see him do this here in Scripture with the sheep. When the Pharisees kick out to this blind man, they show their true colors. And so immediately he uses that and he relates them to a shepherd with sheep. And throughout Scripture, we see sheep was very common in first century. They knew the business. They knew the industry. And so he used that analogy to be able to bring them to this place. I think it's so interesting that throughout Scripture, we are related to sheep. And it's not a pretty sight, is it? Sheep are not really intelligent beings. They are timid, they are fearful, they easily panic, they're dumb, stupid, gullible. Sandy, why are you turning your head from me as I speak? Extremely vulnerable, they are easily influenced. Amen, I have been on that path too many times in my life. They have no self-defense. They're stubborn. Amen, Rachel? I heard that one coming out of you. Literally, they always say it's my way or no way, and they always get themselves in the pit. They get into ruts easily, and they need the most care of any livestock. Any livestock. And Jesus uses the sheep to teach. And not only the Pharisees, but to teach us. And he's going to teach us tonight. They are in great need of a shepherd. They depend fully and solely on their shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, you can flip over there if you want, but you don't have to. I'm going to read it to you. But that's really kind of the background of what he is speaking here whenever he speaks to the Pharisees. In Ezekiel 34, God criticizes the shepherds at that time, and we're going to kind of go through this a little bit tonight, but this is what he says. Ezekiel is his prophet, and he is speaking through, and he says, say that the Lord says this, and he says, "Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you rule over them." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. And so we see that there's a very close connection to how the Pharisees treat the people and how they lead them in ways that will only benefit them. And they don't care about the souls in the people. And we see how they throw them out of temples and that they only fatten themselves with the sacrifices. And so we see this connection that is happening between them. And so he says in Scripture, as we flip back over to John, whenever he is speaking of the shepherd, he speaks of the gatekeeper here. And back in the first century, the shepherds would bring their sheep at night. They had this industry going where they would bring them in, and it would be like this stone covering with stone walls. And they would all lead their sheep in there for the night, and there would be a gatekeeper there. And so Scripture says that the shepherd would come and he would speak out and the sheep would know his voice.
The gatekeeper knew the shepherd.
If anyone else came, they could not come in. And so if they wanted to come, they had to
go over the walls. They only came to steal and to hurt and to take away.
And Jesus is saying here that he comes through and he calls his sheep. And I love this. He calls them by name. He knew them by name. We name our dogs and our cats and our birds and our horses. They named their sheep. I can just see them. One with the curly tail, his name's Curly. The runt is Mo. And he knows every one of them. The one with the little lazy eye is called Scooter. He knew them by name. And they knew his voice. And he called them out. And my question for you and for me is, who is leading you today? Who is it that you're following? What voice are you hearing? Very often we hear, Melissa, I hear all these different voices. You will know the voice of the Lord. There will be no doubt. And you wait until you hear his voice. And you allow him to lead you out. It's very, very easy for us to get swept up in the false prophets of today. I think advertisements just have their rule in today's culture. Amen? If you get a certain amount of surgeries, if you smoke a specific cigarette, if you drink a certain beer or a wine, if you work out at this specific fitness center, if you wear these jeans, you will have the world in your hand. Amen? And we follow that voice, and we get lost in that. Maybe it's a person that is academically following the voice of education. And we hear throughout corporate of, you get your degrees, you get double degrees, you get your master's, you get your doctorate. And then you go and you work for a company 60 to 80 hours a week with low benefits and no days off, and you will get the dream job of your choice. Are you following that voice? Are you finding that discontentment there? The slogan, do what makes you feel good, has led many astray in our world today. We follow the parties and the drugs and the alcohol and the men and the shopping sprees and the materialism. We have these social gatherings with high expectations of what we have and what is expected out of us. Are you following those voices? We end up beaten down, devalued, bankrupt, defeated, trapped, confused, and literally we come to a place of full loss of who I am. We have no identity anymore because we've wrapped ourselves up in these voices looking for satisfaction, and it gets us nowhere. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I call them by name. He knows you personally, and he calls your name. It is not a group effort. You do not go to a specific church or a certain denomination and you know you're going to get into heaven. It is a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I call you by name. He knows your name. Scripture says that your name is written in the palm of his hand. He formed you in your mother's womb. He is intimate with your ways. And he leads them out. They feel safe. They feel secure. And they feel protected. Christ desires to be your great shepherd. And if you are following anyone else, you are in danger. You are being fully robbed of who you are created to be. And you need to flee from it. You will never find satisfaction there. But Scripture goes on to say that as Jesus speaks this, that the Pharisees don't understand, and it says that he goes on, and if you look at verse 7 through 10, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So in the morning, as the shepherd leads out his sheep and they go into these pastures, into these green pastures, and about midday they need to rest from going up. A lot of times, the later it got into the winter season, the higher they had to go on these mountains with this rough terrain. And he would go out there and build them this temporary shelter for them to be in. A lot of times, whenever it got into winter, they would be gone weeks at a time. And that shepherd became the door. He became the protector so that no one could come in and out or take his sheep. And it says that they could go in and out of pasture and feel safe. He set these boundaries for them, but there was freedom in the boundaries. And they knew their safe keeping there. Spiritually, Jesus is saying to here, I am the way into God's provision. There is no other than me. Do not believe any other religion that says that there are other ways to God's provision than through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but through me. And he is speaking this to them. He is speaking salvation here. He is speaking sustaining provision in this scripture. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 23. Many of us know this psalm. It's back in the Old Testament. It's about in the middle of your Bible. If you just open up your Bible in the center, you're going to hit Psalm and go to Psalm 23. And this psalm, a little bit of the background, it is written by King David. And you can read about the story that really kind of sets up the writing of this psalm in 2 Samuel 15. And in that, David's son becomes rebellious and he overthrows the throne. And he sends David out. He is forced to flee. And he goes into the wilderness. And there is a period of time that he is in the wilderness with his family and his servants. And there is great danger, and he is hungry, and he's thirsty, and he is running from the enemy. His life is in jeopardy at this time. And so I love this, because the wilderness that he is in, the wilderness that he is thrown out to, is literally where he was as a shepherd boy. He knew this wilderness. He knew the desert. He knew the terrains of the mountain. And as we study this, just think through of how he just goes back to those days as a shepherd. And he comes to that place of fully knowing God as the true shepherd. And he can have this peace and this comfort in knowing that through this wilderness and through this jeopardy and through this danger, that he is not alone and that he is being given the presence of God. I love this scripture, because for many of us, we are in turmoil and we are in danger. We have rebellious children or torn apart marriages or unsatisfied jobs that we were promised one thing and we were given another. And we're in this area of having to make decisions that are going to affect the rest of our life, and it looks like dead ends and detours for us. And God says, I know your heart. And he gives us scripture that we can sit on and that we can meditate and we can find comfort in. And so I want us to look at this scripture tonight and just sit in his love, in his presence, and in his mercy, and in his grace. I'm going to ask you to do something really crazy. We all have different translations. I have the ESV. I know many of you have the NIV. We have King James. But I'm going to ask us to read this aloud together tonight as we sit together, and I'm going to ask that you just ask God to speak to you tonight as the true shepherd. Let's read together. It says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? The Lord is my shepherd. I know for me, I learned this scripture when I was a little girl. I didn't even know what it fully meant, but I knew that I was in safekeeping with my God. And I knew that he would protect me and take care of me. And there were so many times late at night when I was scared and things were going on in my surroundings, and I would just sit there and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will make my path straight. He will take away the confusion and the noise and the arguing. He is our good shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will be fully satisfied. There will be no need of having you. You will lack nothing. He is full satisfaction. We've spoken about that over and over again. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says over and over again, what are you thirsting for? Only I will satisfy. You will lack nothing if you come to me. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will be content. I will find rest. I will be at peace. I love Paul in Philippians 4, 11, 13. He speaks it this way. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any end, every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He fully satisfies my soul. Depending on who your shepherd is, depends on the level of satisfaction that you have in your life. If your job, your education, a man in your life, if any of these are your shepherds, you're going to be restless, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be disillusioned. Disappointment is going to fill your world. Only God, the good and true shepherd, will bring full satisfaction and will take you away from just that life of emptiness. I've had people say, Melissa, in the midst of a crowd, I am one of the most lonely people in the world. Who is your shepherd? Isaiah 53:6 says, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. We need a shepherd. We need the true shepherd. We need just the voice of God in our life. For many of us, you guys, that is shutting down a lot of stuff. That is turning off the TVs. That is throwing away the magazines. That is turning off the radio. I tell you what, I promise you, I can turn on the radio to secular music, and yes, I listen to it at times in my life, and it will take me right back to the pit of where I used to be. I can smell the smoke in the air. I can see the crowd in the bar. I can taste the liquor that wasted me every night. You listen to the one true voice and you get rid of everything else in your life. It is the only way that you will survive. Whenever we discover that truth,
whenever we discover the desire and the need that we have of His full leadership, that is when we will come into this place of satisfaction and needing no other want. It goes on to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Green pastures, still waters, restoration. God will lead you to the place of nourishment. He will nourish the inmost being of who you are. The shepherd would take his sheep to a place where they could eat and rest, and he would take them to these still waters so that they wouldn't drown. Literally, these sheep are so stupid and so dumb that they would go into rushing waters if the sheep did not lead them, and because of their wool and the heaviness of their wool, they would drown. He would take them to the still waters, and he would comfort them, and he would give them rest. How many times in your ignorance have you walked out into that rushing water and drowned on your own stubbornness? Your true shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one and only, will lead you to the place of rest, and he will restore your soul. Psalm 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Psalm 51, when David is speaking and he's saying, "Restore me," he is saying, "You alone have I sinned." This is whenever he writes this psalm because of the sin of Bathsheba and the killing that he goes through and the consequences of his life. And he is praying for restoration. And he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your Holy Spirit." The Word of God will nourish you. It will feed you. There have been hundreds of days in my life that I sit and just feast on the Word of God, Psalm 119, and I just study it, and he nourishes my soul when I can't even give words to describe my pain. There is nowhere in Scripture that says that you will live a fairy tale happy ending if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it tells you throughout that you will have trials and tribulation. And it tells you throughout that the enemy will always be after you. It tells you throughout to be alert. And God says, if you will follow me in the midst of all of that, I will take you to still waters. And I will restore your soul. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God." There comes a time whenever we don't even realize we are thirsty. And I promise you, ladies, if you will study the Word of God between Tuesday to Tuesday, between Sunday to Sunday, if you will get into it every day, it just might be one verse that you sit on that day, you will come to the place of saying, "I am so thirsty for you. I pant." Jesus says, "I will bring you to that place of rest." In verse 3 it says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It is not about us. It's about his reputation. Scripture says his name is faithful. He will stand strong on his promises. And you better believe it. It is truth and you stand on it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." Whenever we come to that place of realizing that we need to be fully dependent on him, that we come to that place of fully trusting, and we say, "I will follow none other than you, even if it makes absolutely no sense to me today." Several years ago, my husband had, he was working for a university, working for a great university, had a wonderful job. And they made the decision for him to move on campus. We were here in Dallas, and the campus was in another city. And we fully believe that it was God's will for our life. Great job, Christian organization, loved it, took care of us. And so we began to prayerfully consider this, and we were excited about it, and we got our kids excited about it, and we began to try to sell our home, and we went there, and we talked to principals, and we got our kids into schools, and we found a home, and nothing was falling into place for us, but we knew it was God's will, and we continued to pray, and we continued to move forward. And as we did that, literally, we were in that 11th hour where we were going to have two mortgages. We were going to have the mortgage here in McKinney, and we were going to be buying a new house because we felt like that we had to have a spot for our kids, that they would feel stable, and that they would be comfortable, and they would think that they were safe, and that we were going to move forward. And as we're driving home, I was like, okay, wait a minute. We're about to put ourselves in full debt. Where in Scripture that says that is following the way of the Lord? Where in Scripture does it say that He wants us to move forward, even if it means to put us literally in a place that could end us in bankruptcy? It's nowhere. But yet we're like, but we know this is God's will because it's a Christian organization and they love us and we love them and we want to be there for years. And even though it made literally no sense to us, we had to stand on the word of God in truth, not feeling. And so even though we fully didn't understand, we literally had to say, this is what Scripture says for us. And it's not lining up with our life right now. And truth is truth, and our life many times is not. And so to get in alignment and agreement with God, even though it made no sense to us because He had blessed us greatly, we resigned from that position and we had to walk away from that job. He leads you in path of righteousness. You lean on Him even when it doesn't make sense. You make sure your life lines up with Scripture. It says it is your plumb line. It makes your way straight. He will lead you towards the paths of righteousness as soon as we said, not my will, but your will be done. As soon as we said that, the confusion was gone. The chaos in our minds of just all this junk happening. You know, you say, but I'm just so confused right now. As soon as you say, not my will, I surrender all. Your will be done. There will be a peace that is beyond all understanding. And He will make your path straight. And He will give you peace in it, even though you don't know the next step. And that is what He is calling us to do. And I think so many times we question deep inside, what is God's will for my life? What do you mean, Melissa, whenever you say that, to get in line with Scripture? What does that look like? And I just want to quickly go through some things with you that literally you can begin to align yourself with truth. And the first thing is to surrender fully and completely to the leadership of the shepherd. To surrender all to Him. To say, whatever is your will, thy will be done. I mean, I'm talking literally, ladies. Don't compartmentalize. Don't say, God, I'll give you this part of my life, but this piece, I'm talking full surrender. Scripture says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith.
you surrender to Him. He is your true shepherd. The second thing is to be obedient to everything that you know right now is His will. Be obedient right now to what you know is His will. What is that? The Word of God. 95% of Scripture. I bet 98% of Scripture. He reveals His will in the Word of God. You begin to be obedient to that. And He will continue to show you His will. He will continue to make way of truth to you. Whatever it says about how to treat your parents, you be obedient to it. Whatever it says for you to treat your children, you be obedient to that. However it says to build relationships with other believers in the community of the bride of Christ, you be obedient to that. How are you supposed to treat your employers? You be obedient to that. That is His will. You want to know His will, you study the Word of God and you be obedient to that. And that other 5% that's in question, that you can go from Genesis to Revelation and you're not going to find it, you begin to be obedient and He will give you this peace about those areas of your life. You begin to pray in those areas. You begin to wait on the Lord. Wait to hear His voice. He will give you this peace. He will give you this inner conviction of the way to go. You don't hear His voice, you don't move. You wait on Him. Ask for wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men. He doesn't want to hide anything from you. He's not trying to hide behind the corner and you not figure out where He goes. Ask for wisdom. He gives it liberally to His children. And whenever you ask for that wisdom and He gives you that inner peace, don't second guess it. This is what happens. Whenever we say, okay, this is the way that God wants me to go, and all of a sudden we do it and it doesn't quite go the way we thought it was going to go, what do? We second guess. And we say, maybe I heard God wrong. If you ask for His wisdom and He gives it to you and He sends you and He gives you a peace and you say, I got it, you hold on to it and you don't second guess it. He's placed you in that situation. It might not be the way you desired for it to go. It's exactly the way He desired for it to go. Because He wants to teach you. And He wants to mold you. And He wants to make you more into His image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so ask for that wisdom and have confidence in His ability to lead. Have confidence in your shepherd. David says, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, he says right here in Scripture that He will lead us on the right path. It's a promise. It is a promise. You have confidence in the way that He leads you. Guys, I'll go ahead and tell you right, He has not led me once yet in the path that I wanted to go. But I have come to the place of fully trusting Him in the path that He desires to take me, because it's a path of righteousness. And it is a path that He will make straight. And it is a path that He desires for me to go on so that I will be fully dependent on Him. Be confident in the way that He leads you. In verse 4 it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. In Scripture here, whenever it speaks of the rod and the staff, the rod was like this club that literally the shepherd would use to drive away the wild animals and to protect the sheep. And this staff, it had a crook on it, and it was there to be used to aid the sheep. It would bring them back in to the fold. If they got stuck somewhere, they could put that crook on it and they could bring them back in. They could pull them up if they had fallen off a piece of the cliff that they were on. It was the protection. The Lord protects you.
He fully protects you if you follow him. His promise is, I will protect you wholeheartedly if you will follow me. And if you will trust me, and you will have confidence in me. Be comforted in his protection. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It goes on to say, what can man do to me when the true shepherd is my leader? He will protect me and he will provide for me. In John 14 and through 17, we're going to be studying that all next semester in just beautiful depth and richness of his word. And he's in the upper room with the disciples and they're having their last dinner together and he is about to go to the cross. He knows the sacrifice that he has to make. They still don't fully understand. And as he is speaking to them, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you vulnerable. I will not leave you lonely and in despair. I will be with you, but I have to go. But I go and it is good for you because I am sending the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know you don't understand me right now, but trust me in that. In John 14, 1 through 4, he says, I am going to a place and I will come back for you. I'm going where there are many mansions and I'm going to build a place for you and I will come back for you. You will not be left alone. I love in Scripture how he so desires for us to understand resurrection. Whenever he says, I am the resurrection, we're going to be teaching on that next week. I am the resurrection. He wanted us to understand. He really wanted the disciples to understand that. Because they're going to go through persecution. Many of them were martyrs. And he said, though you die, you will not die. You will be awakened and you will live eternally. Man, whenever we come to that place of understanding that we do not need to fear death, there is freedom there. He will protect you all the days of your life. And what I've had to come to understand is part of that protection might be taking me home. And I should never fear death. These are his promises to us. In verse 5 he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this scripture. You anoint me with the head on my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me give you the backdrop to this. 2 Samuel 17. David is in the wilderness, right? He has been thrown from his throne. He is sent out. The enemies are after him. He is in enemy territory. He is in great danger. He hides in caves. He questions his next days. And in the midst of that, 2 Samuel 17, 28 through 29, three men come to him. They are not even Israelites. They are not God's people. And they come to him, and it says that they brought beds and basins so that they could wash and refresh themselves. In earthen vessels, they brought wheat and barley and meal and parched grain and beans and lentils and honey and curds and sheep and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and thirsty in the wilderness. In the midst of the desert of hiding from his enemies, in the middle of enemy territory, God graciously lavished him with this great meal. And he said, I am making you a banqueting table. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, my cup runneth over. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. David came to a place to rejoice in God's provisions. He came to a place of fully trusting and knowing that he would be provided for.
He doesn't ever know always how,
but he knows that he has a God whose name is faithful, and he will be fully provided for. And it speaks of this, he anoints his head with oil. That was a great gift of hospitality in the first century. Whenever we look at this scripture and you look at the gospel and the things that are happening there, they would anoint their head with oil. And it was a hospitable gesture. And God is gracious in his hospitality. And he lavishes you with his love. It is an everlasting loving kindness that I don't think we will ever fully understand. We will never be able to love God the way that he loves us. And nothing can separate us from that love. And a final note that I just want us to look at, if you look at this verse 6 of chapter 23 of the Psalms, it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word follow is the Hebrew word that means pursue. God's goodness and mercy will pursue me. It will pursue me. It will run after me. He is in the midst of these enemies that are pursuing him, that want to end his life. And he says, God's goodness and mercy will pursue me. And it brought him to this place of great rejoicing. He says, I want to be back in the tabernacle. I want to be back in the place where I can praise you fully and completely. And I want us to know that God pursues us with his goodness and his mercy. He calls out our name. And he says, follow me. And you guys, your first response should always be a place of on your knees in worship. We don't have to go to tabernacles anymore. We don't even have to go to church doors. God says, remember in John 4, we spoke on this whenever he's spoken to the Samaritan woman, and he says, you will worship me in spirit and in truth. We worship in this place because it is holy. Whenever we come to the place of knowing God's provision, whenever we come to that place of knowing that God is going to feed us and take care of us and protect us and provide for us, our first response is to worship him in it. We'll go back to the question that we asked at the beginning of the night. Who are you following? Who is leading you out? Let's pray. Dear Father, just as we bow our heads and we just spend these last moments with you, I just want to read from your word of what you speak to us, dear Father. And back in John 10, 14, you say, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That is, oh my goodness, dear Father. That is an intimate relationship that you have with God the Father. And you are saying that we know you and you know us in that intimate way. You say, dear Father, that you lay down your life for your sheep. You lay down your life for us. You went to the cross for me, dear Father. Scripture says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. My question tonight, is there anyone here that is not in God's fold? As he is speaking the scripture, and he is speaking to the Israelites, he is saying, there is more than just you. There are these Gentiles. There are these people that I'm going to send out my disciples to the ends of the earth, and I'm going to bring them in, and they will know my voice. Dear Father, I pray that we know your voice. I pray that tonight, if literally we're saying, Melissa, I don't know the voice of God, I pray that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. For those of us that are believers that say, Melissa, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, but I still, I don't know his voice. Dear Father, I
just pray that we will come to you through word and through prayer. You tell us that we will find you. If we will seek you, you promise that we will find you. And I pray that we will seek you out through word and through prayer. And that we will be still before you and we will wait, dear Father. And I pray that every one of us this week will hear your voice. And that you will rid us of confusion and you will rid us of chaos and you will make our paths straight. Dear Father, you say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. That's that abundant life that you speak of and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Dear Father, I just pray that we can come to this place of fully knowing and believing and trusting separate us from you. You got a hold on us, and I pray that we will become women that literally will reach out and take a hold of you. You will never leave us or forsake us. You are the true shepherd, dear Father, and you lead our way. You go before us, and you fight our battles. You are our warrior. May we rest and find comfort in that.